Our scripture reading today is John 14, 15 through 24. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name, said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not the world at large? Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not of my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me.
Thank you for downloading our podcast. Make sure to subscribe to get new ones every week. And don't forget to check out First Methodist Sweetwater's website and social media. Now, here is Pastor Ryan Strebeck.
So last week when we were getting ready for Senior Sunday and Nick asked for 10 photos from each family to put together the senior slideshow, that task fell to me. And so I was going back through an old computer trying to find photos of Morgan, our daughter who's graduating. And as I was doing that, I found this photograph, which we did not put in the senior slideshow, but this photograph is, this is Morgan's first day of preschool. And this is my wife, Amberly, there with her, and she's about to get on a bus. They're in Jessamine County, Central Kentucky, and I don't remember exactly what I was feeling, but you can tell I'm behind the scenes with the camera. And what I loved about this picture then and what I love about it now is that you can just see the vigilance and the care that Amberly is. She's down on eye level with Morgan, and she's saying with her body language there, I see what you see. I see that this is a big, scary world out there, but it's also a beautiful world. And let me coach you a little bit. I think they were even learning a little song or a prayer at the time, but it's helping them see what they're fixing to walk into. And with words and body language, she's saying, whatever you run into out there, I will be with you. I will be here for you, and you will not be alone. You will not be alone. I am with you. So the heart of God, the nature of God, is of utmost importance for us to learn. It's so difficult to pray. It's so difficult to worship. It's so difficult to offer our lives in response to the gospel if we don't understand the nature of God, if we don't understand the character of God, the goodness of God. And so knowing the heart of God, what does God want? What does God love? What is in God's heart for his people, for you, for me, that were chosen in Christ before the beginning of the world? What is in God's heart for us? In so many ways, I think we learn and experience the heart of God through our mothers, through those women who lead us in the faith. Our mothers, of course, keep us from being orphans. They prepare a place for us, and they lead us home and all the places that we wander and all the places that we go. And so we're learning about God's heart in John 14, in these chapters that are strung together that we sometimes refer to as the farewell address of Jesus. Remember, this is the swan song. These are Jesus' last words in the upper room with his disciples. He has this one last meal with them. They have a conversation about what it means to carry out this life that is within them that Jesus continues to call, out and call towards. And so here they are together. They're listening to these last words of Jesus. And Jesus continues to speak. We talked about this last week, how Jesus has said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may also be. And then I will come and return, and I will bring you with me someday, and we'll go there together to our home. And so he's encouraged them with that. And now for the first time in John's gospel, you know, John has really made a big fuss from the very beginning until now about God's love for us. In fact, one of our favorite verses, of course, that we learn when we're little is, for God so loved the world, the whole world, the cosmos, the entire world, whether they're for God, against God, care about God, could give a rip about God, God loved that world so much that he gave his only son. And there's just, that's on repeat throughout the Gospel of John, that God loves us, God loves us. And he showed his love in this, and he showed his love in that. This is the first time in the Gospel that John mentions our love for Jesus. So it begins to, we begin to see the reciprocation of the love that is overflowing in our hearts. And Jesus says to the disciples, if y'all love me, you will keep my commandments. So if y'all love me, if you reciprocate the love that I've given to you, it will show up in your lives. It will show up in your conduct. You'll be able to tell the people that love me by the way that they live. And this comes back in John's, in 1 John, in that great letter where, you know, he says, you can't say that you love God and then not love your neighbor. And you can't say, well, I love my neighbor and then not love God. I mean, it all goes together. It all works together. And one will give evidence of the other. And so, of course, we're left asking, well, gosh, that's wonderful. How in the world are we supposed to do that? How are we going to, how can we ever keep the commandments in such a way that would evidence our deep love and affection for the God that gave everything to show his love for us? And one of the great answers that we get from Jesus here is, well, the good news is you're not alone. Even in trying to keep the commandments, you're not alone. And just as I have been with you to be your helper, and I've helped you along and learn the way to the Father, well, I'm going to send another helper, and he will lead you into all truth. He will be one that will lead in the same way that I've led. And so thus we get this language of, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another, the Greek word is parakletos. I will give you another parakletos. And there's really not a great English word to translate it. And in a couple of different places, you want to kind of emphasize a different part of it. In other places, it's sort of like an advocate in a courtroom. But right here, it's more of something like a helper, someone who's there with you, who's just going to walk on side alongside you and make sure you get where you need to go. And so I will give you another parakletos, which of course implies that they've had one all along. Jesus, they know that they've had Jesus walking with them, and he's just told them that he's going to leave. And so they're left wondering, well, what are we supposed to do when you're gone? It was all fine and good, but anytime we had a question, we always just turn to you and ask. And now you're going to be gone. So how are we supposed to sort it out? And Jesus says, well, I'm going to send you another helper, a parakletos, another one to walk with you in the way that you should go. And actually, this helper is not just going to be with you for a little while, but this parakletos is going to be with you forever, into all ages. Then we get this really interesting language about how the world cannot receive the Spirit. The world cannot receive this other helper, the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't see and it doesn't know. But Jesus reminds them and reassures them and said, but you know him, for he dwells within you, or he dwells with you and will be in you. So not only be this helper that's walking alongside you, but his very life of God is going to be in you. It's going to be inside of you, and that's going to make all the difference. We think of the Holy Spirit in this way as sort of being the vehicle by which and through which we experience God. This is how we experience the love of God. This is how we obey the commandments. This is how we walk in the way that leads to life, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's still our feet. It's still our hearts. It's still our minds. It's still our personalities, but they are being infused with and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. And so this new capacity wells up in us, this new life, and we can love people in ways that we never could love before. And it's a beautiful thing when the Holy Spirit is operating in this way in our lives. And we get this great text, again, back to the heart of God, the will of God, the character of Jesus. In verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. I will not leave you as orphans, but I will come to you. Throughout the Old Testament, one of the things that is on repeat throughout, no matter where you're reading, we catch God's heart for people that are vulnerable in the world. Namely, and they're summarized by two groups of people, orphans and widows. That's why James, in his letter, when he says this is true religion, that you keep yourselves unstained by the world and take care of orphans and widows in their distress. James is just quoting what he's read his whole life throughout the entire Old Testament, and that is when there's people that are vulnerable among you, that their natural caregiving systems have fallen apart, widows, orphans, then it's up to the people of God to take care of those people. And Jesus is saying, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. It's a beautiful thing. He said, you're going to feel like orphans because I'm going to be gone. And we've been together for 3 years now, and you're going to feel like you've been abandoned. But I'm not going to leave you abandoned. This helper is going to be with you. And I was just hearing so much comfort in this text this week for us, for all the ways that we feel abandoned and the times in our life where we feel like we have been left orphans, whether we've been literally made orphans or whether we have been made orphans in some aspect of our lives or various things that we do. And this is the heart of God coming out in the words of Jesus saying, I will come to you. When the things that you've had to lean upon, the family systems maybe even, the things that you should have been able to trust, when those things fall apart, I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. I will be with you. You are my people. You're my followers. I have called you and I've chosen you before the beginning of time, in Christ, that you would know Jesus, you would know the love of Jesus, and you'd be able to walk that love out in your life, that others would know about this love as well. Jesus continues that in a little while, the world's not going to see me. He comes back to this and says, the world will not understand, they will not see. And so we get Judas, not Iscariot, the other Judas, and he says, how is it that, you know, something's going to show up and appear, be manifest to us, and the world won't be able to see it. He's thinking, you've been among us, Jesus, and everybody's seen you. We saw you, and the world saw you just fine. So how is someone that's another just like you not going to be seen by the world? And Jesus is encouraging them to think about the faith that's going to be required to see God when Jesus is no longer in the flesh with them. And he says, the world's not going to see the Spirit, because the world's not going to be looking. The world's not going to be asking. The world's not going to be hungry for the life of God. And so therefore, they're not going to be receptive and open. They're not going to see the Spirit. They're not going to see the life of God. But you will see, because there's an appetite within you. And you've seen me. And if you love me and you've enjoyed and you've grown and lived with me, then you will do the same thing when I send the Spirit. And of course, it will be in the life of the church. And we'll talk about more in the coming weeks. But because I live, you will also live, Jesus says. Because I'm alive, y'all will live also. In this way, I think the Holy Spirit is sort of like the unsung hero of the Trinity in so many ways. Because I live, Jesus says, you will live also. You will live through the power of the Spirit. And the whole phrase even, the unsung hero, it just means we don't sing a lot of songs about them. And it's funny. Not funny. It's kind of shameful. But if you look through our hymnals, it doesn't matter if it's a Baptist hymnal, Methodist hymnal, Lutheran hymnal, the old Reformed Church hymnal, Catholic hymnal, there aren't that many hymns about the Holy Spirit. It's always seemed like a deficiency. We don't have a ton of songs that are really lifting up the life and work of the Holy Spirit. We have some of the great ones, Holy, Holy, Holy. There's some good ones out there. But we need some more. So you songwriters out there, be thinking about that and how we can make that happen. Verse 20, Jesus says, in the day when I am no longer with you, we can think about the ascension, the day when Jesus is ascended to the right hand of the Father, you will know that I am in my Father, and y'all are in me, and I am in y'all. So it's this circular kind of picture that we're beginning to see where Jesus is in the Father and we are in Jesus and Jesus is in us. It's this very confusing, seemingly confusing, but very simple and beautiful equation where the very thing, the very life of God is shared between Jesus and the Father, and it's shared between Jesus and his people, and it's shared because Jesus is in his people, and then we are in Jesus. And so there's all these great intersections of the life of God passing right through the middle of our own hearts and right through the middle of our own communities, where the very rivers of God's mercy and God's power and God's life are filling us with all the life, all that we need to grow and walk and learn to love our neighbors. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, she it is who loves me. And she who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love her, and I will manifest myself to her. Another picture of this eternal circular love of the Trinity, this love that will be manifest to all peoples, the love, the very love of God. Jesus answers Judas in his question about how in the world are you going to manifest to a certain group of people and not to others, and had a question just like Philip and Thomas did in the preceding verses of this chapter. And Jesus continues to answer, if anybody loves me, anyone, that's the difference. While I've been with you, only a certain number of people can see me and believe in me, because they're only the people here in, you know, the Galilean countryside, and here in the you know, in this place by the Dead Sea, and up and down these roads, these dusty Palestinian roads, everybody, only a certain number of people can actually see me, and it's not all that many people. But Jesus says, if anybody loves me, they'll keep my word, and my Father will love that person, and we'll come to that person, and we will make our home with that person. See, in the same way that Jesus told us last week that you know, that we will do greater things than even the were done by Jesus, meaning there would be the word will spread and more people will be reached. In the same way, Jesus is saying, look, now it's just been about the people that can see me and know about me here, but the gates are fixing to be blown open. And when the Spirit comes, there will be no holds barred. There will be no fences. There will be no walls. There will be no geographical or ethnic areas that can hold the Spirit of God in one place. That Spirit will be manifest all over the world, and the church will be born, and people will know that there's a God in heaven that loves them, that's chosen them before the beginning of time. And we will come to those people. Jesus says, I will make my home. We will make our home in the people that love us, and the people that love the Trinity, that love God. We will make our home there. It's fascinating. It's the same word, home, here in this verse. In verse 2 of chapter 14, it's the same word as rooms. You know, when earlier when Jesus says, in my Father's house, there are many rooms, the very same word is translated here as home. And so if we want to think about it that way, in my Father's house, we talked about last week, as sort of this big collection of houses, sort of like a big campsite. In my Father's big area of living, there are many homes. There are many homes. There are places. There are places where you can always feel at home in my Father's house. And not only that, but I and the Father will actually come to you wherever you are in this world, and we will make our home with you. So I will not leave you. I will not leave you orphans. I will make a home with you wherever you are. The Father and I, we will be there by the power of the Spirit. So again, he's calling for this faith, for the eyes of our faith to perk up and wake up and begin to see what Jesus is doing, and when the sending of the Holy Spirit comes, how that's going to change our lives. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So as we contemplate this good news of the gospel, that Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you alone. I will come to you. The Father and I, in fact, by the power of the Spirit, we will make our home with you. Anyone who loves me and keeps my commandments. So what might our response be today to this good news, to just having the curtain peeled back a little bit and seeing the nature of God in this way? And I think at least one response that we might have that would be appropriate this morning would simply be that of gratitude. And of course, Mother's Day has us thinking about this anyways, what we are truly grateful for and what we observe, the life that we are thankful to live. But gratitude, that the nature of God, that the heart of God is that of one that would condescend to live among us and love us in the beautiful way that Jesus loves us, not leaving us as orphans, not coming to us and hanging out around us, but living with us and going so far as to live in us. We were chosen before the foundation of the world in God's heart. We have a home in God's heart. And our response to that is, what can we say? Is gratitude. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. We have a home. We have an eternal place to belong that begins today, that begins now. Thanks be to God. I think another response may be just asking ourselves the question, in what ways am I taking full advantage of the enjoyment of the presence of God, of the life of God? In what ways am I opening myself up to get in on this very life that is pledged and promised to be inside of me and inside of us? We are not spectators in the Christian life. You know, we don't simply observe and be on the sidelines and rah, 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 and yay, Jesus, you got that stuff going on with all those other people or whatever, but we're participants. You know, we're in the game. And so we have to constantly look and ask ourselves, and as we're learning to love Jesus and obey his commandments, keep the commandments, we're working in our belief is growing, and we're listening to the word of God. We're participating in the sacraments of Holy Communion. We're meeting together as a church. We're praying for one another, and we're growing. We're learning to enjoy the presence of God. We're learning to take comfort and take stock and the promises that he has made among us. Because the great reminder here is that I am in the Father. I am in you, Jesus says. You are in me, and I have not left you alone. My very life is inside of you. The life of God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit belong to you. And so, I wonder if we might ask ourselves this morning, do I know Jesus in this way? Do I know the life of God in this way? Do I know this way of life in such a way that others might be able to know what is the nature and goodness of God simply by being around my life and observing me? The Father and the Son, by the power of the Spirit, are looking, they're searching among us today to make their home in me and in you and all of us in our life together as a community. May we respond with hospitality. May we open our hearts. May we open our minds. May we open the dark corners of our personality. May we open our homes. May we open our friendships. May we open all that we are to the life that God is pouring inside of us by the power of the Spirit. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.